Harbor Recreation and Conservation District Board of Commissioners at 6 o'clock. May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Dale.
Well, we know he's intermittent on that iPhone.
Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Doss.
Here.
Commissioner Higgins.
Live and in person.
And President Coleman.
Present. All right. Do you have something fun queued up for us for the Pledge of Allegiance today, Adam, or shall we just all say it?
I sure do. I wouldn't let you down on that. Let me give this a shot here.
You've set the bar high.
This one's even better.
Okay.
See what happens.
The Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That's so much more fun than the cacophony of all of us standing up in front of our cameras trying to talk at once. Okay, do we have a report on closed session?
Yes, no reportable action was taken during tonight's closed session.
Thank you. Then we'll move on to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various items, issues not itemized on this agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar be pulled and discussed separately. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public wishing to make public comment on items not on the agenda? Seeing none. And I guess I should ask, or asking for items to be removed from the consent calendar. Then we can move on to the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion we accept the consent calendar.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote on that? Oh, yeah. Mute yourself.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Doss?
Yes.
Commissioner Dale? Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Moving on to communications reports and correspondence. Take it away, Larry.
Okay, can you put on my presentation, Adam, quickly? Okay, so I participated in the CMAC. I'm on the board of CMAC, and I'm also on the board of CAPA, and they had a virtual Washington, D.C. trip. It was basically, traditionally, you would go to Washington, D.C., and you would meet with all these different entities, and so it was basically a day and a half event, you know, with the ports up and down the state, and so we really had a great meeting with Congressman Huffman. And once again, he just really was supportive of Humboldt Bay and, you know, commitment to do dredging, and was talking about, you know, the impacts to commercial fishermen and what we need to do to support the fishermen, and also interested in working with us on a variety of different projects. And so that was just an extremely productive meeting. And I really want to thank Congressman Huffman, not just for Humboldt Bay, but for also Crescent City, Noyo Harbor, Petaluma, who are all in his district, and the rest of the state, because he really looked after us, that's for sure. Also with this, we had presentations from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the headquarters, you know, about the dredging programs and, you know, how they're working to get another dredge to support the increased dredging activities, and plus the full authorization of the Harbor Maintenance Trust Funds that was approved by Congress, and they're doing the implementation of that. There was also a major session with BOEM, the Washington, D.C. staff, and it was really focused on exclusively on the West Coast offshore wind project and their efforts that they're working and their commitment to try to go through that process and hear what all the concerns are from the fishermen, the tribes, the entities, and also, you know, to meet the industry and the state of California's greenhouse gas emission standards. And there was a variety of other programs that we met with all the rest of the ports. And so, you know, I try to stay totally focused on Humboldt Bay, but we are on the board of them. And so we do try to make our presence known because we also represent Noyo and Crescent City and the other smaller ports when we're on those statewide boards. An update on the RTI broadband cable landing lease. We estimate that escrow is going to close on that property early next week. RTI made the initial $200,000 cash payment, the first payment on that. That was wired yesterday, I believe it was. And I really want to thank Ryan for all of his work that he's been doing to help facilitate that. And Chris as well has been a huge help. The State Lands Commission approved the lease from off the shore 3 miles out. That was, I think, last week they approved that. And then the Coastal Commission is tentatively scheduled to hear that in June. There's a second completely different project than RTI, but they're kind of associated that you should be aware of. And that really is from the Trans-Pacific Fiber Optic Line when it lands on our property, then it will connect directly to what's called this Vero line that goes directly onto our property and then goes to Arcata to the data center that is currently under construction at the former Nielsen Feed Copeland Lumber site on 11th Street. And so the Coastal Commission is having a hearing on that tomorrow. Hopefully the Coastal Commission is going to approve that because, you know, again, that goes directly onto our property. And so part of the coastal development permit is on our property at that direct landing between where the RTI and the Vero will connect. However, Connie Stewart gave me a call last week and we were in discussion and she forwarded me a copy of a letter that Caltrans was opposing granting the right of way between on Highway 255 between Arcata and the Samoa Bridge on their right of way. And so there may be some issues that we need to work out and assist, you know, Vero. Again, Vero is not our tenant, but it's all kind of connected and increases the value for the community in particular because Arcata needs this and the whole community needs this 9 mile segment between Arcata and Eureka. Imagine we've got everything going from Indonesia all the way across the ocean to our property and all the way coming across Highway 299 to Arcata, and then we have troubles in that last 9 miles there. I'm just really bringing this to your attention, that it's something that as regional jurisdictions that we might need to do something to try to encourage Caltrans to move this forward. And I'm not saying they don't have valid issues. I'm just saying it's an important issue. Lastly, I've been continuing to meeting with the geologist, as I had mentioned before, about the possibility of using these Trans-Pacific for a potential early warning systems. And so we've been regularly meeting, and RTI has been great, really great with working with the geology professors from Humboldt, Berkeley, Oregon State, just all over the place, looking to really try to use this as a model for potential earthquake early warning systems. Go ahead. And so with the multi-purpose dock master planning, you know, we had the kickoff meetings. Yesterday, we did the all-day charrette with the architects. And again, we're looking at developing a master plan for all of the coastal dependent industrial properties between the small peninsula, or I'm sorry, between the former pulp mill and essentially the small bridge, which includes the Harbor District's property, Green Diamond, Snyder, and the town of Samoa, which is essentially Danco. And again, we were doing charrette drawing out of where all the road systems would go, the internal roads, the building sites, the uses, the terminal locations. And what we were looking at, not just the offshore wind, we were looking at where can we create locations for the commercial fishermen storage areas? Where can we do aquaculture expansion areas? Where can we do support facilities for other industries that we're going to need within this area? Really kind of doing some comprehensive planning. And also, of course, looking at where the terminal itself, where are the best locations on the shore where the terminal might be. We continue to get a great deal of support from the offshore wind energy, major international engineering firms that really specialize in port development. Adam and I were on an hour-long call just yesterday with a firm that was specifically answering our questions. What do you think, where do you think we should put the dock? Do you think that we could use the dredge material from the agreeing to, if we send them samples of the dredge material that the Army Corps of Engineers has out in the sand, can we use that for structural fill? You know, really this level of support and willingness to review all of our documents and give us answers free, no charge, is really from these major, not just one, but several, the industry, labor unions, lobbying groups, everybody is coming to Humboldt and trying to give us as much support as we need. It's really incredible that people are reaching out to us and want to help us to succeed so they can succeed. It's good to know that we're not the only ones that are trying to do this all by ourselves. And then on the dredging, we continue to work on going out to bid this year for another round of dredging for Woodley Island Marina. Again, this kind of that we were talking about. Last year, we got funding from FEMA. We're hoping to get reimbursement from FEMA on that, and then to be going out to bid. Adam's been doing really a great job of working with the regulatory agencies, and we're looking to do a permit amendment to do knockdown dredging. And kind of what that is you saw that in the first place, you saw that in the marina, there's some low places that we kind of showed you where the boats kind of wiggle out. Well, you could take a big iron bar and you can kind of drag on the bottom and you can fill in the low spots and take out the high spots instead of removing the material just by filling them in. And then also when you do clamshell dredging, sometimes you miss spots and so you leave high spots. And so after you do the fairways, then you can drag at the on the bottom and really just flatten it all out. And you're not removing any material, you're just really cleaning it all up. And so Adam's been reaching out to all the agencies, and it seems like we're getting good feedback that we should be able to get that authorized this year. We also met with the Water Board within the last couple of days. Adam and I met with the Water Board, and this, if you remember, Commissioner Higgins was really leading the show on this with writing a letter to the Water Board telling them that we need to be able to use Samoa Lagoons in order to do suction dredging. We met with the Water Board. We had a meeting all set up with them in April, right when COVID was supposed to hit, when their board was going to be here, but everything got put on hold. We finally met with them within the last couple of days, and they said they had met and they were prepared when we were meeting before. And they've changed. They think that we can, in fact, do this without lining the landfill. There's a lot of work that we have to do, but it was extremely positive to hear them say that there's a lot of work to do and we have to do groundwater sampling and some other things. But if we can get the Longsman fin smelt mitigation going and continue to work on this Samoa Lagoons, that we can potentially make this work. And again, I just cannot thank Adam enough of working with these agencies and to try to continue to do this. And like we said, we're just gonna continue to try to pluck away and improve our techniques until we get this, the Woodley Island Marina and Fields Landing maintained, and so that we can do it affordably with suction, dredging, using Samoa lagoons and other beneficial reuse locations. On the Nordic Aqua Farms, we had meetings with the Coastal Commission staff and the County of Humboldt Planning to hear, does the Coastal Commission have issues with the Nordic? And if they are, to get them out ahead of time so we can know what they are. There's no surprises. Let's get them out in the open. And let's, if there, we need to do some more studies, if we need to do anything, to make sure that we're hearing the Coastal Commission and we have all the technical information that we need when it goes to hearing to clear that. And the Coastal Commission had some issues with ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat area, some plants and other things. And so because they brought those to us, Nordic went out and did some additional geologic studies. They were concerned with soils and plants and other kinds of things. And so, but anyway, the most important thing is that we're really working with all these regulatory agencies to overcome the hurdles. And the anticipation is that this month, really this month, is that it's supposed to go out to the public so they can start that hearing process. I believe that's the end of my report, so I'll turn it over to Chris. But before I do it, I just want to say we are busy, and we're plucking along. There's a lot of work going on all different fronts, and I just can't thank the staff enough. And lastly, I really wanted to thank the board for approving the incentive raises for the staff. We really he's really making a difference, and I just can't thank the board enough for that uniqueness. And I've heard from several different private sector people that said, wow, we've never heard of a governmental entity kind of being creative like that. And so, again, I thank the board for allowing us to do that.
Okay, so yes, thank you. No pretty pictures this time. Yeah, a little busy. Anyways, at Woodley Island on the 15th of February, I think it was President's Day, got a call early in the morning, and we had a fairly reasonable diesel fuel spill at Woodley Island Marina. It was a holiday, but I was able to have one of our staff members come in and join in cleaning up the emulsified diesel fuel that was in the marina. So we worked with the U.S. Coast Guard and California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Scott Thomas from the Coast Guard and Jeff Dayton from Wildlife, and got it cleaned up. It took about 3 days of recurring cleanup. So our staff stepped up, did a great job. You know, I thank them each and every time. We have 6 dedicated individuals out in the field who, no matter what we ask them, you know, really perform for us. We've been doing some tree trimming around the marina. We were very cautious to make sure we worked outside of any bird habitat, or that we were compliant with the migratory bird treaty. Adam was a great support on that, but we've been doing an extreme amount of tree trimming around the marina. We're going to chip up the product and try to use it on site. In those areas that we can't use, we'll go ahead and allow people to take that away for their own gardening and composting reasons. We're working on some parking lot layout. Since we cut some trees, we've exposed a little area for parking. So we're going to continue to do some restriping there in the main lot. Down at Fields Landing Yard last Thursday, we got a report of a runaway vessel that was actually 2. I'm happy to report that the owner secured the vessel and removed one and came back and took responsibility for the other. So not often that happens. Finally, at Redmond Marine Terminal 1 and 2, we've been clearing a lot of invasive vegetation at RMT2. Robert Probolt particularly has been out on the backhoe, wind, rain, sleet, snow, whatever it is. He's been out there cleaning that area and removing the pampas grass. We're trying to keep our upland available and clean, and it's a constant effort. Pat, indeed, thumbs up to Robert. I mean, it's a labor of love. That's all I can say about it. And then we replaced all our stormwater and BMPs at RMT2. Adam gave me some good support and direction on that. And Larry pulled a report for me to help me see exactly what we needed to do. And so the staff did it. That's what we got this week. Thank you. Or this month, rather.
Thank you. Do we have a district council or district treasurer report?
No report from council tonight.
Thank you. And moving on to commissioner reports. I don't see everybody here. Why don't we start off with Commissioner Higgins?
Great meeting with the Shelter Cove Improvement District and the Shelter Cove Fishermen's Preservation Association. Good things happening in the Cove for self-determination. Harbor District really working strongly to support that community. And I see progress. So that was one of the most encouraging things and positive meetings I've participated in for the Harbor District in a while. So I'm really, really optimistic about the Cove. And, having a pretty good time in paradise here during the pandemic, but I got my first COVID shot today, so I could bust off the reservation and go back out in the Eel River watershed soon. Steelhead Run is picking up. Coho were pretty good. Chinook was not so good, so that's a problem. But I was down at the mouth of the Mad River, and I saw a seal sliding sideways in shallow water. And the next thing you know, he backed a lamprey onto the beach and had sushi right in front of me. So the lamprey are running and they're delicious, but I'm not sure how you get a hold of one other than trying to steal one from a seal. Thank you.
I'm glad you don't.
Yeah, good luck with that. The seals usually steal them from you. Commissioner Marks.
I've got nothing to report.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes. So just a brief report. I had an opportunity to meet with the rural counties delegation that came to visit the Bay last week. And they have an exciting project to bring opportunity of manufacturing pellets and shipping pellets abroad. And it's in conjunction with a fire reduction project for the rural counties. So it's nice to see the many rural counties binding together and creating industry. That's what I got.
Thank you. And Commissioner Dale, are you with us?
I'm here. So I don't have a whole lot to report. Similar to Patrick, I think the Shelter Cove coordination meeting is working well. I think it looks positive. Let's all keep our fingers crossed. But I think we're at least getting to some sort of critical mass in our organization. And I can't help but to thank Larry. That's been incredible. The RID has come on board. Celeste and Michael are really working it for us, and Justin down there. And then all the fishing association has been just stellar. It's kind of cool to see a community like Shelter Cove come together around an idea. So that's been fun. I got my first COVID shot last week, and I highly recommend everyone getting one. That's all I got.
Thank you. I don't have much to share as well, but I will announce that I did my third annual perilous plunge, jumped into Humboldt Bay with one of my coworkers, and our team at Redwood Coast Energy Authority won a trophy even for the best team plunge. Wow. So that was a high moment of pride. And then also had a chance, and we raised a whole bunch of money for the Redwood Discovery Museum and helping kids with STEM education. So that's something that I think is real important. Also had a chance to meet with EdgeConnects, some of their engineers. That's the company that's putting in the data center in Arcata. And this is, again, associated through my day job, not through the Harbor District, but they did mention that, you know, one of the primary reasons that they're locating this business here in Arcata and making this investment in our community is because of the proposed Trans-Pacific cable. So, and I think we all knew that, but it was good to hear the company actually say that, that that's, you know, what we did at the Harbor District to enable that has at least brought that one business here and probably gonna be a lot more. So with that, do we have any correspondence? It looks like we have a letter in the packet.
That's correct. We had a letter in the packet requesting that there a plaque be put up. I haven't researched this yet. And in all honesty, I don't know for sure if we are actually the entity, because, you know, we really don't own any property, you know, in Shelter Cove other than below the beach line. And so I need to look at this to see whether there's whether it's the monument that's on the Bureau of Land Management's property, which is directly adjacent to this, or whether you know, it's by the somewhere near the fish cleaning station, which would be on the property that we lease. But what I, if the board is okay with this, then I would reach out to the Mary Ann Mackey and then try to coordinate with whoever landowners there are in the area to facilitate her request. Because I have no objections, and I'd like to support her in any way that we can. Commissioner Dale, it's in his district, and so I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to add to this.
Yeah, I talked to Mary Ann, and it's unfortunate Tom Mackey passed away. And apparently we've done this before, so it's not it's not something new. But we'll I think if we could get this on the agenda on our next meeting, Larry, between then and now, Larry and I will figure out what the ins and outs of it all are and get it situated and then we can vote on whether we do it or not, if it takes a vote.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm very much encouraged. Let's do what we can to help her out. And if it's not us who puts up the plaque, you know, facilitate the communication with whichever agency it is.
Mary Ann specifically just asked that if they could do it, if they could put the plaque up. The family would like to do that. And I told her I didn't think that would be a problem. I just couldn't speak for the board. So we'll get it figured out and bring it back to the board if you'll put it on the agenda, Mr. President.
Yeah, I think that should go on the agenda. Unless it's just an administrative function, then, you know, I think go ahead and do it. I don't think there would be any objection to that, but take the appropriate action.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then let's move on to new business. Item 11A, consider authorizing board president to submit a letter of support to AB 525 related to offshore wind energy generation and port facilities.
Yes. Make sure I'm unmuted. So staff recommends that the board, could you do the next slide, Adam? Staff recommends that the board approve the letter of support that's in your packet for AB 525, which is CHU, which is offshore wind energy generation and port facilities. And essentially what this bill does is that the state of California would set a goal of having 10 gigawatts of power by 2040 and 3 gigawatts by 2030 of offshore wind. And then to identify sufficient areas in federal waters where at least 10 gigawatts of offshore wind could be generated. And this would be either in the existing call areas that BOEM has identified or other call areas and that may be up and down the state of California. And then to coordinate with state and federal permitting agencies to essentially try to do coordinated permitting and streamlined permit processes for offshore wind. And then this is the one that's kind of the most important for us directly, is to plan for port improvements to support a range of floating offshore wind development, including construction, staging, manufacturing, and long-term operations, and that could potentially directly benefit Humboldt Bay and other ports within the state of California, as even though we might be the assembly port, some of the components might be constructed in other parts of the state, use those terminals, and then be barged to Humboldt for final assembly, and about really creating a larger new industry for the entire state of California, so that California dominates the West Coast renewable energy market. And this is really extremely possible because Oregon and Washington have extensive hydroelectric power that is far cheaper than California's power. And so really offshore wind is a major item for California. And then also to support the development of skilled and trained workforce, which is just really huge. We want to get our local labor force trained to get the highest paid and skilled workforce on these good paying new jobs that would be coming to the West Coast. And then of course to work on the transmission upgrades. And so I included a draft letter of support that I'd ask you to authorize the president to sign so that we could submit this. Lastly on this is that this was initially brought to my attention by the county CAO's office. And so we had meetings with the county CAO's office and then the county's lobbyist, where Redwood Community Action Agency, the Harbor District, and the county staff, met and discussed this letter with representatives from the Assembly Member Chu's office. And then I've also had discussions with this with some industry folks. And what they really believe is that this is what is needed to really kick this off, is the state of California setting this goal of 10 gigawatts would really send the message to the industry and to BOEM that we're serious about wanting offshore wind off the state of California, and really set everything in motion and to start the investments going. And so at this point, staff would recommend that the board authorize the president to sign this letter of support.
So moved.
Second. It's Greg.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions from the board? All right, hearing none. Any questions or comments from the public? And Adam, help me out if you see anybody raising their hand or trying to speak.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on it. I don't see anybody.
All right, great. I guess we can bring it back up for a vote. Do we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right, thank you. Moving on, 11B, consideration of awarding contract for habitat mitigation analysis.
Hey, this is Adam. I'll be talking about this one. I'll just go ahead and start going through it. So we're asking the board to consider awarding a contract for a contractor to do habitat mitigation prioritization, design, and analysis, which I'll go into some more. I made this kind of simple map to try to allow me to have a little discussion with you to create some context for what we're trying to do here. So the black dots on here are projects that the district is working on or has coming up that are going to require mitigation in the terms of habitat restoration or potentially other forms. As you all know about these projects, but there's the multi-purpose terminal we're working on, water intakes, bay water intakes at Red Tank Dock and Terminal 2. We want to get a longfin smelt incidental take permit to allow for suction dredging at Woodley Island Marina and potentially other sites too. And then, of course, we're looking for mitigation for dredging at Fisherman's Channel. There's a number of different opportunities around the bay to mitigate for these impacts of these projects. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but as you're aware, we own property down in King Salmon that was purchased and can be used for mitigation. We recently acquired the Bay Street property, which is a very good site for mitigation as well. And then there's different opportunities around the bay. One of the more notable ones is that there's piles and other debris in the bay that can be removed as mitigation. Now, with this context, because of all these projects and these different mitigation sites, we really are at a point where we need to do, both a big picture as well as a detailed look at how we're going to address this. We want to make sure that we are finding mitigation opportunities to mitigate for everything we want to do, and we want to make sure we're doing that efficiently, and we want to find opportunities where individual projects can mitigate for multiple multiple project impacts. So we're really trying to address this both at the big picture and then also, you know, of course, for individual projects as well. As you're aware, the Harbor District released this request for qualifications, requesting that contractors and teams submit statements of qualifications to help us address this. The general scope of the contract will be a prioritization of the mitigation sites while considering what the impacts we're anticipating are. How do we prioritize mitigation? And then moving on after that, you know, for the sites that we prioritize, developing conceptual habitat restoration designs. Of course, from there would be detailed restoration designs and habitat restoration as mitigation. We received 4 really good statements of qualifications, all great teams. I know Larry would agree with me that any of one of those teams that provided SOQ would do a good job. In the end, we're recommending awarding this project to GHD. They have a very good local team, a really high local presence, I think made them stand out from some of the other teams. They partnered with Stillwater Sciences, which has a local office here, done a lot of restoration and biology work around the bay, and also Northern Hydrology, which Jeff Anderson is the principal there. And as I think a lot of you know, he's done a lot of modeling and restoration work around the bay. So really just a top-notch team that we're recommending awarding this contract to. We're recommending a 1-year contract for the project. And we have a 1 work order tonight that we're also recommending approving. But you know, we want to get this started quick. So we've got 1 work order now to get them going. And then we would come back at future meetings to have the board consider future work orders to take next steps in this process. The current work order involves the site prioritization. Again, you know, thinking back to the map I showed, you know, looking at those sites, potential mitigation sites I showed, and also other ones around the bay that Larry and I will, you know, help the team understand and that they'll come up, identify themselves. And then once we do that screening and prioritization for the high priority sites, the team working closely with us will create descriptions and some basic graphics for what the restoration work would look like at those sites. We're initially really focusing on identifying sites that are going to mitigate for some of our high priority projects, specifically 2, one being attainment of a longfin smelt incidental take permit that will allow us to do suction dredging, particularly at Woodley Island Marina, but expanding out too to other sites. And as you guys know, you know, this is really a key part if we're going to do beneficial use of dredge materials in the bay. This is a part of that. And then the second high priority project we're looking at is water tank, the bay water intakes that we're working on permitting at Red Tank Dock and RMT2 to provide for different aquaculture tenants that are existing and developing along the peninsula there. This initial work order would be for not to exceed $27,000. Again, as I mentioned, we'll bring future work orders to the board. And then the way this is playing out in terms of funding, the way we're recommending it is, you know, depending on what specific projects we're targeting in terms of finding mitigation, that's going to drive where the funding is going to come from. So for this, you know, the board had previously approved $100,000 for us to work on the mitigation and pursue the long fin smelt take permit to allow for suction dredging. So that part will be absorbed directly by the Harbor District through our dredging fund and through that initiative. And then for the water intakes, those are master water intakes that we're permitting for multiple users on the peninsula. So we'll be paying for some of that upfront, but then we'll be getting reimbursed from that through rates that are going to be built into the to the water use by tenants. That's all for my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. Staff's recommendation is to award this contract to GHD. Again, it's the larger contract and then the specific work order right now that would allow them to get going immediately, basically on the prioritization of the restoration sites and really the first steps of the conceptual design for the prioritized sites.
So moved.
Mr. President, this is Greg. I second that. Thank you, Adam.
Great, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions from the board?
This is going to help us in the long run. This is going to be good for our dredging projects in the future. And it's good to hear that we are on the right path now. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not too soon. We've had assets that can be ultimately used for long fin smelt restoration. And I think before now, we should have been given a permit on good faith, but this is the way we cement our relationship with Fish and Wildlife, get over the hump with the long fin smelt. It's a long time in coming. These are very credible scientists. This should help. I'm in favor. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, I am agreed. Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing and seeing none, we can bring it back up for a vote.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Great, the motion passes. Thank you, staff, for continuing to move this forward. This is definitely on the trajectory we want to be. So let's see, item C, consideration of accepting permit application 2021-02 Samoa boat launch improvements for filing.
Okay, I have a presentation on this one as well, if I can. So the city of Eureka is working on permitting a second dock at the Samoa Bridge boat launch. The dock is actually part of a larger project that includes some upland improvements, but the dock is the only part of that project that's within our regulatory jurisdiction. So that's the part of the project that we're looking at. CEQA is already done. Eureka is the lead agency and they completed an ISMND. So we would rely on their CEQA document in order to make our CEQA findings for the permit. They did submit an application to the Harbor District, which I've determined is a complete application. Just as a reminder, you know, the process here is once staff determines that the application is complete, we bring it to the board to accept for filing. It's kind of an administrative thing. Once you accept it for filing, then we will start the 30-day public review period of the permit application. And then we will bring it back to the board to consider a approving the permit. And I have kind of a typo in here where it says certifying CEQA document. That's kind of a carryover from a past presentation. You wouldn't actually certify the CEQA document, but you would adopt it in this case because we would be a, we're a responsible agency. So that's where the project is that diamond shape. You all know where the Samoa Bridge boat launches. They'd be constructing a second dock, roughly the same dimensions, just across the boat launch from the existing dock. The new dock would be used by non-motorized vehicle, which I'm a fan of. And then, you know, the existing dock would be used by motorized vehicles. It's a floating dock. There's a little design of it.
So, Mr. President, I move that we accept the filing. Is that what the...
Yeah.
Is that the most... Accept the filing?
That's correct.
Of the City of Eureka's dock application?
I'll second.
I think Richard already beat you. So we have a motion and a second. Any questions or discussion from the board? Hearing none, any questions or comments from the public? All right, I guess we may have a vote on it, please.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item D, consideration of initial 2021-2022 district budget preparation schedule.
Yes, it's budget time again, and really we wanted to just see outline kind of the process that we were envisioning. We want to follow generally the same process that we've done in the last couple of years. It seemed to work, and the draft schedule would be that on April 8th, we would present the preliminary goals, income, and expenses for Redwood Marine Terminal 1, 2, and then Shelter Cove. And then on May 13th, we would do the same thing for Woodley Island Marina, Fields Landing Boatyard, dredging, and then the fee schedule. And then on June 10th, where we would be looking at port operations, conservation, recreation, administration, staffing, and then follow up on any of the other topics that we need to do. And then if everything goes as planned, then we would adopt the preliminary budget. Because per state law, we're supposed to adopt the preliminary budget by June 15th, and then to present the formal budget to the Board of Supervisors no later than August 1st. And then on July 8th, we would come back and then adopt the budget. And if we needed to within that, we could schedule special meetings in between times if we wanted to. But in the past, it helps staff to kind of focus on a couple of projects at a time so we can really concentrate on the budget on preparing the first three, then we can move on to the next ones. And if the board wants us to do additional work, then we can do that. And so this is what we would propose that you do. The board previously had said, well, we might want to form a subcommittee to work with staff on the budget preparations. But at this point, I'm going to open it up for discussion for the board, but we're proposing to follow this schedule for the budget preparation process.
All right, thank you. And this is, will this need a motion to approve, or is this just staff direction?
No, I don't need a motion. Unless you disagree, then I want you to tell me what you want. But if you don't, if you're okay with it, then I'm just telling you this is what I'm planning to implement.
Okay. Well, any questions or discussion?
I find it more useful to disaggregate the budget in this manner. We've been doing this for several years. We used to do it as one big, huge hairball. And I think it's better for us to understand, helps us understand our various operations and enterprises and their fiscal soundness. So this looks like a good strategy to me.
Okay, anything else from the board? Must be a game on or something in a little bit. Anything from the public? Hearing none, so this is not a motion, but it's direction. So yeah, I think you're getting consensus that this looks like a schedule and good procedure for preparing the 2020-2022 budget.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, then moving on, I see a number of future agenda items. Bar pilot recruitment, Brown Act training, Shelter Cove service agreement for janitorial, award RFP for U.S. Coast Guard power, and Green Diamond shared services agreement. So,
yeah, you'll notice that I removed the long fence melt because you approved the contract. So we're starting that process. And so I went ahead and took the liberty of removing that from the future agenda items.
Great. It's nice to see things get knocked off lists every once in a while.
All right. What's the other fish we're going to put on there? Can we get another fish to consider? No, I'm
sorry. All right. I don't think we even need a motion. As president, I can just say that we're adjourned. Thank you.
Please do.
Well, Mr. President, I have one more thing to say.
I wish you
as you all may know, football has started this spring, and we will be having football games. High school football is a go. So I want you all to get out there and root for your team, but the Huskies are the ones you want to root for the most.
You're not supposed to watch in person. They're not allowing crowds. Good try, Greg.
Well, they're potentially going to allow four people per player. How's that?
Oh, I didn't know that. Good to hear.
Yeah, well, they're not going to offer softball. They're not going to look for softball because you guys are – you don't count. But, no, it's a good thing. It is, it's just – it's wonderful for these kids to get back out and start doing some activities. Anyways, yes. Everybody have a great evening and a great week.
Yep, and in the spirit of that, you know, it's like we're nearing the finish line, I think. You know, people are getting vaccinated. Things are moving forward. So let's keep it all together so we don't go backwards. And have a great week, everybody. Great night, and see y'all later.
Kept it under an hour, Stephen. You go, boy.
Yeah, you.